Okay, firstly, I want to wish Mazel Tov to Sammy Bergen. He's not here tonight. He had a baby boy.
Oh,
and he asked me to inform everybody of the Shalom Zocher, which will, Mr. Shem, take place in his house, 36 over 17 Nachal Ein Gedi, 8 o'clock onwards. And the Bris, Mr. Shem, will be on Sunday, Gitzev his mother, on Sunday morning in Nachal Chava in Erev Shalom, based Knesset over there at 9:15. So, Ovisal. Now, we started a new topic, and that is the topic of Sheker. How does Sheker come into our everyday lives, especially in respect to momentous issues? And we establish that speaking Sheker is obviously an Issa D'Oraisa, and it's compared to Avodah Zarah, and one doesn't have any relationship with God if one speaks Sheker. So, not kedai to get involved in Sheker. Now, we know that Sheker, there is a heter speaking Sheker if you're going to create Shalom between people. And we said, however, there is a Sefer Hasidim, which says, but that's only to talk about past events. You say, well, it wasn't like that. It was like this instead, and it's not really bad as you think. You can, if you're forced to, change the history in order to prevent any problems of Shalom, Shalom Bayis, or machlokas between people. But the Sefer Hasidim points out that's only for past events. If you're talking about future, present things, you want to make Sheker, even for worries about Shalom, like somebody wants to borrow money for you, the Sefer Hasidim said it's still Osa. We explained it in a Lobnish way, but the Olam wasn't too happy with that, so we're going to just explain it in the Balabatish way, as they say. And that is that it's more likely if you're going to get involved with speaking about Shalom, about current events or future events, that you're going to train yourself to speak Sheker even when it's not Shalom. And therefore, don't fall into that. In order not to fall in that trap, we say, no, it's no heter of Sheker even when they're talking about Shalom. If we're talking about current events, can I borrow money? You can't say no. You can't say I haven't got if really you have got, according to Sefer Hasidim. It's interesting, Morgan Ron Puzzles like Sefer Hasidim. Mishnah Berurah brings it down. He just says Sarach Ian. So therefore we have to try and avoid the Sefer Hasidim if we can. Okay. Now, so, next case, this Shiloh came to Beis Din. And that was like this. Somebody walked in to Beis Din with permission. He didn't have a din Torah, but he had a shayla, and that was, is that he said, you know what, I have something to admit, I don't know what I did wrong, I definitely did something wrong, and I want the Beis Din to tell me what I did wrong and how to rectify it. And the story was like this. He said, I was traveling from Yerushalayim to Tzfat on the bus. I came on the bus with my family, quite a big family I had, and there were no seats available, they'd already taken up the whole bus. This was not going to be a pleasant journey to stand all the way to Tzfat. So I came up with a master plan, and I took them out my throne, and I pretended to speak to my mother, and I said, you know what, we just came back from Mexico, and Sara is in the hospital, because it's the time of the Mexican flu crisis over there. She's in the hospital, and she's recovering well, the doctors say. But I'm worried about Rivka over here on the bus over here. She seems to be coming down with temperature. He said this obviously in a very loud voice, so everyone could hear. And the last bus out of Yerushalayim, which is supposed to be the last pickup, strangely enough, 15 people disappeared from the bus, and now there was plenty of space to sit down. So, after this, he felt a bit bad. He obviously knew he did something wrong, so he came to basically exactly what did he do wrong. Is it just Sheker that he's speaking over here? And if it's Sheker, then obviously it's also Issa Ben Odom Lamokum, and he has to do Teshuvah and Karata, and maybe it's also Ben Odom Lachaveh, he's Sa'er people. But, or is it even more than that, can we say, for such a situation?
Can deal with such a shyness?
He wants to answer.
Well, he can just go to his rov.
So that's what he's asking. Is it more than just a rov question, or is this a basin question that we need to have more in-depth view in Dine Momonos?
It would seem to be a drama.
Okay, so...
What can you put right?
So the first opinion over here is Grama. What does Grama mean? What does Grama mean when you say Grama?
Indirect damage.
So the definition of what he did was indirect damage to these people. So what's the halakha of Grama? Don't have to pay anything. You're chayv bidei shemayim to pay for those damages, but bidei otam you don't have to pay.
How about direct damage?
He directly caused them to get off the bus. How did he get them off the bus?
Because they care about the kind of the fashos. This wine, whatever the food was at the time, was big. Clearly a large percentage, despite the big wait till the next bus, were willing to give up their seats and get off the bus. And he knew that would be a likely result, and therefore that's direct.
Direct damage. Okay, so we've got a Gemara and Baba Kama which says not that you.
Why don't you say we have a Gemara and
Baba Kama
that says
why? Why is it not direct damage? I missed that joke. Was that joke?
Why don't you say instead you have a Gemara and Baba Kama that says like me? He's not even here.
You said how good you are at the end of the shift, okay? So the Gemara and Baba Kama says that if somebody comes up to somebody and frightens him suddenly, and because of that fright, he went and injured himself because of the fright. Now, I did an action with my words, a speech or fright or something like that, and I caused, by doing that, I caused you to damage yourself. Says the Gemara over there, that is not direct damage, that's called indirect damage. Why? I know it's going to happen. Mayapus, if I do this, you're going to bump your head. Yeah? Well, how's that indirect damage? Says the Farshin, the postkin, it can never be direct damage if I don't actually physically touch you, do something to you, an action physically to you. But if I say words or shout at things, and by that you interpret those words in a certain way to damage yourself, then that's not called direct damage, that calls indirect damage.
Therefore, is it those words the issue?
The words, noise. I made myself frightened because of the noise. So that's called indirect damage, and therefore, the chore on the bus, it can't be more than indirect damage because I shouted some words. You interpret those words in a certain way to damage yourself by taking yourself off the bus. That can't be direct damage. It can be only indirect damage.
You hold a gun and use your words. You don't actually touch the guy, you never actually shoot. You say, everyone off the bus. Is that called indirect damage?
Also, a lachanami, indirect damage. It's a gun, it looks like a gun, it's really a banana. But you interpret it as a gun, so therefore you understood from the scenario that you better get off the bus. That's called indirect damage, correct?
The famous fire in the theater, if you yell it out, you yell out fire in a crowded... And everybody
well, that's what he did
other.
On the bus.
Yes, that's what he did on the bus. He shouted on the bus, Mexican blue! That's what he did.
It worked rather well.
People got off the bus. Now, so far, it can't be direct damage, it can only be indirect damage. Anyone else got an idea about this over here? Further look at it. No? Okay, that's why the guy came to Basin, I see. So, the Basin said like to him, he says, you have to pay money. Why? What's it? You have to pay? We just said it's indirect damage. No. Firstly, there's a Rosh in Baba Kama. which is on Daf Chof on the base over there, and the Rosh says like this: you go and lock somebody out of their house that they can't use the house, that's called indirect damage. You go and lock somebody out of the house and you go in the house instead of them, that's called gezel. That's called you're stealing. By removing them and going in that place, that's called stealing now. Says the Rosh. Why? You didn't physically... No, stealing doesn't have this requirement that you have to physically remove him or hurt him, touch him. That's a requirement in damages, the issue of damages. Stealing is somebody owns something and then you take it over and force him or make him think that he should give it over to you, even although he owns it. That's called stealing. You take something which belongs to somebody else and you take it for yourself. That's called stealing. So therefore, when you take somebody's house, says the Rosh, and you close the door and you can't go in, and you go instead, that means you're stealing his house. You didn't physically touch him. That's what stealing doesn't require, physically touching. So here, what happens on the bus? The bus, I shouted, Mexican flu. Which meant everyone who got off the bus and gave up their rights. What rights did they have? What did they own on the bus? They owned, when they paid their ticket, what they paying for?
A ride.
With a seat, if there's seats available. And a ride without a seat if there's no seats available. But when I have paid for the tickets and I have available city, I have actually now acquired the right to those seats, and nobody can take me off now, because I've now, so to speak, rented those rights over there. So now when I shout Mexican flu, you've caused me to give up those rights and take it for yourself against his halakhic rights. His halakhic rights, I have the right to seats, and you're now making me give it over to you against my will. That's called gezel, the fact that you sat in my place. So therefore, 15 people got off the bus, and he sat down in 7 places. Because it's 7 people. So, on 8 of the seats, he didn't sit. 7 he did. So 8 of the seats, he's just a mazik of grover. Because he never took those seats for himself. He just caused them to lose it. On 7 of the seats, he took the seat for himself, and therefore he is a gezel on those seats. So he's a gazlan.
You just pay the 7 people whose seats he actually sat in, you have to check which
was. So now he owes money to the 7 people who sat in those seats, which he took over. He's a gazlan on those seats.
It's different than the Rush's case, because in the Rush's case, when you go take over the house, it still belongs to me. Here, when he sat down in the seats, they no longer belong to him because they got off the bus.
No, they up their rights. They had rights to sit on those seats till. Yeah, that's what their rights are.
Right, but the right ended when they got off the bus.
No, they didn't. They were forced to get. You made them get off the bus, like locking them out.
Okay, but that I understand. So, but when I'm sitting down in that seat, it no longer belongs to them.
Yes, it still does belong to him because they never gave up. It was like saying mafke. Here's a guy, mafke your rights. Hefke doesn't work against your will. Hefke doesn't work in onus.
So
this is Hefke.
Onus.
Yes. So therefore, on 7 seats he's a gazan. 8 seats he's a mazik bidei shemayim. So
what's the tikkun?
So what's the tikkun? So now he's a gazan. What does he do? What does he do?
Why is it exactly the same case? One of them, you're locking the door, you're preventing somebody from doing something. This one, you're not preventing them from staying on the bus. 30 other people or 25 other people stayed on the bus. You didn't prevent anybody from...
Why did the other 30 stay on the bus?
They were in the front of the bus.
They didn't hear.
They already had the Mexican flu.
Even if they heard, they made a decision.
His was a plan to get them off, and it worked.
It sounds like it's a different case.
But doesn't the guy need musa as well?
Well, of course he needs musa. Of course he needs musa. Of course, of course. He wants to do teshuva. He feels he's done something bad. So that's already a start.
I don't understand.
Yes.
On small harm, tough. On small harm, you found a name for it. So you found a way to say he's done something. On major harm, tough, you don't have a name for it. We haven't got a name for it.
What do you mean?
The major harm is they had to get off, they lose the travel home, they're in a total mess, and
yes,
that's the major harm. Whether or not they have to have a seat
now,
is relatively important.
Let me give you a lesson. The difference between going to Beis Mishpat and Beis Din. Secular courts think like you. Meaning that, come to the secular court, and they say, look, it doesn't fit in any really law that you've done, but you've done something wrong, so I'm going to get you in any case.
Why doesn't it fit in any
law? It doesn't fit in any of the laws that we fit. But in secular law, there's also a law which says the judge has a right to has the lenience or the ability to stretch and put you into trouble according to his will and rotzen. Which basically, in Torah, you have no such leniency. Yes, we know you've done something wrong. We would like you to be able to give back the money because you have physically caused them indirectly this damage, and therefore we would like to return it. But we haven't got the rights to do that, which basically means by demonstrating that, we're demonstrating is Torah's min hashamayim. We're mevatel al das to the das of the Rotzen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we can't do exactly how we feel and we do. We have to follow das Torah and das of what our Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And often, being chayav b'dei shamayim is much worse than being chayav b'dei otam. Because chayav b'dei otam automatically is much easier to get a clean slate because you're paying up and in case you might as well do teshuvah. Yeah, but somebody who's up to you, do you want to do teshuvah and give back the $1 million which you stole the derech roma, or you don't? There, the yetzer hara that prevents him from doing it much harder, and if he does, he's done, that's much harder, but it's much harder to do. And forget, in the olam ha-emes, somebody in gromers most likely will be in a much worse place than somebody who's damaged directly because it's very hard for him to do teshuvah. Good. That is a side issue.
This is going to have terrible consequences. All very nice saying, "Bidei Shamayim." This is a very, very difficult. If you suddenly start stalking some of them, driving them out of the world,
if it's a Takana, don't worry, we have an answer to all your questions. Because if it's a fact, something which affects so many people, like you're saying, then there's such a thing as Basin has a right in those sections. No, you're saying if it's a Tekonus, a Sibyl, then Basin has the right. If it's something that affects a Sibyl, we're allowed to make special Tekonus for the children. No, so that's not. No, no. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted this person to lose money, and he wants this person to have this.
If somebody comes to you,
no, no, he's done something wrong, and he's lost money. No,
if somebody comes to you, or let's say your daughter starts driving them crazy,
yes,
there's no recourse. And once eventually they drive them so crazy they commit suicide, the best person came to them and asked you to help.
If it's a Kodesh the Bosch is a different China. You have to look at every case, because every case doesn't have rules, and say, look, it doesn't make sense over here what you're saying. We do not work like this secular thing. We don't say a rule. No, we look at every case individually. If you're saying it's a constant book, we work with it. If you say it's a constant of conscience, we can also work with it. If you say this person's going to be upset, okay, it's upset because Rachel hopefully will malach his shono, but that's your package deal that you have in life. And this guy who's caused you damage, also he has something to deal with called Bidei Shamayim, whether he passed the test or not is up to him. Now, okay, so that's the question. He's a gazlan, he has to pay for those 7 seats. How does he do it? So the halacha is, if a gazlan steals and he doesn't know who he stole from, there is a chiyuv of hashava, but how does he do it? Doesn't know. So the walk down in Shulchan Aruch, he has to give that money to a situation where it's possible that the people he stole from could benefit from, and that's a type of hashava. And what that means, you have to choose an organization if it's somebody who could be anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, you have to choose an organization to donate money to that stolen money. So that works across Eretz Yisrael, where it's possible that these people get Hanor and Hashava through that. That's the maximum he can do in such a situation, because he doesn't know, but that's his fear.
What if they find you after you get bid admission? What if the victims find you after
you still look quick, then you're looking to give them the money.
In addition to the donation,
yes,
you're
going to get. Right. You're not going to get your donation back.
You give a donation of 7 tickets to a bus company? Like,
what do they lose?
No. They can give 7 tickets free of charge to 7 people.
No, because that's not necessarily suffering. That's not necessary. They're choosing 7 people. Yeah, well, you're giving money to an organization like Ezen Sion across the whole of Eretz Yisrael, giving them an extra 1,000 shekels, then whatever the prutza, which is spread out in the north and the south and the west and the east, can possibly spread out much more. Okay. Now, one of the points out for Mar Mokum number one is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Very important. Respect to Sheker, that if a person lies when he does his exams and cheats, and he passes on the higher grades than he would if he didn't cheat, and by doing that he's now got a diploma which he wouldn't really deserve, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's considered Sheker, but more than Sheker. Gamuhu Geneva Dover Mamish. That's stealing, literally stealing. Why? When he wants to go out and find a job, when he finds an employer, and most of the times they want somebody who's got good qualifications. And he shows you, I've got a good qualification here. Such a qualification. Now we're going to take you at a good job because you have this qualification. You qualify even to have the interview without even get the interview. That's stealing mamish, because you don't deserve this job because you don't even qualify for the interview, because if you wouldn't really have this diploma, you wouldn't qualify for the interview. Now that you've got this diploma through Sheker, you're now saying I am something which I'm not, and they're going to employ you when they wouldn't employ you, and that's called you're stealing their money, says Rav Moshe.
Why is that stealing the money?
Stealing the money of the employer. The employer would not have employed you if you would not have lied and got that diploma. And now you're saying you've got a diploma which you don't really have. That means he's spending money on you and giving you a job which he would never spend on, and therefore that's considered stealing his money.
He's not paying you for having a diploma, he's paying you for doing a good job.
If
you do a good job,
he
wouldn't care if you have a diploma. The diploma is only to show that you will do a good job. But if they're happy with you, they don't care if you have a diploma or not.
Many times, people who don't have diplomas, they succeed beyond all people who've got diplomas.
Yes.
So maybe
Moshe Feinstein argues, if a requirement for the interview of the job, he says, is this diploma, then that's the fact that you took the job in that stage, even though you end up being a very good worker because you're naturally talented and you don't need the diploma for the actual job, it's still considered geneva.
But he's paying me for work, which I did, so what if I steal that?
I want him to succeed me. I don't want him to.
I fooled him. There is Geneva's boss, but what is it that I'm stealing? I gave him what he paid for.
Who's he stealing from?
From the employer, says
Rav Moshe. Why is he stealing from the other candidates?
Because they don't have, stealing means you're taking something which they own and you're taking it out of them, and you're not stealing from something they own. They don't own the job. They haven't even got the job yet. You're preventing them getting a job, yes?
That's not stealing.
That is called mazik.
That's
damaging the person.
He would only be hired a year later or whatever, 2 months later when he gets the job, but just the actual cheating on tests
is Sheker. But he's pointing out that sometimes Sheker can lead to mamish geneva.
If the guy succeeds later on, I'm glad he got through.
Let me turn around to you after saying what you're saying. I've known a few cases where the person, you know, after 10 years in the job, and very good, said, you know, I've got something to admit to you, my boss. I lied on this issue. Okay? Fires him on the spot. I'm a very good worker. I don't want anyone working my firm who does those actions. You've heard of those?
Yes,
but I've heard of a guy who sits there with a pencil on his desk and has all the diplomas and does nothing.
Doesn't mean, I'm not saying something is a diploma is better than something is not a diploma. Yes.
The same principle applies if you lie on your CV resume in order to get an interview. That would be the same idea of Gezer. Even if you haven't said you've got, let's say you've got some experience, and you've worked somewhere for a few months.
Yeah, that I think is less because the employee should do his due diligence and check up whether it's true.
I've checked on diplomas. You can check on diplomas very easily.
Yeah, so he's got a diploma, but he cheated and gets it with a diploma.
Isn't somebody else got the application letter?
He's saying he cheated on an exam.
Somebody else got the application letter, and according to that application letter, you got the interview and then the job. Is that the name of it?
What? To what?
Somebody else wrote the application letter.
Yeah.
Because of that application letter, you got the interview. Otherwise, you wouldn't have got it.
You can't
write application letters.
Well, again, that's something that the employer has to take into consideration when he's taking a job. You know, I'm not going to give him a job. Don't give people jobs just because how they write on the application.
Give them the interview. Wouldn't they give them the interview? You said
they
would give them the interview.
Okay.
Is that
your name? No, it's not a requirement of the job. Requirement of the job.
And if the level of the qualification is not a requirement of the job, that's what it means.
Correct. That Ramosha's just talking about where the job was given only because of the diploma. That's what Ramosha's saying. Okay. Let's move on to the next question. There was a builder who subcontracts jobs. And one of the jobs he subcontracts is painting. He doesn't paint himself, he always subcontracts to Reuven, but Reuven is his painter. How does Reuven get paid? So he makes a deal, you know, however meters you paint, I pay $10 a meter. Yeah. So if you do 10 meters, you get $100. I say those figures even though they may not be reality, but that's the case. The figures will manipulate. So he does 10 meters, he's entitled to $100. So he comes and paints 10 meters and he comes now for his wages. He says, how much do you paint? 10 meters. So I should get $100. He says, okay, you $100 you deserve, I'll give you 80. But that's not the deal. If you want to still work with me, that's how I work. $80. And this continues. Whatever he says, he always takes off 20%. Always takes off 20%.
Once he continues, isn't he regardless of that, is he okay with that?
He's not okay with that. He just knows, I have to do this. I have to accept this, which is underpriced for the market. I have to accept this type of thing because I need the jobs and this guy gives me the jobs. He's using it. So now, he has a shiloh. Next job he does.
Who has a shiloh? The painter or the guy?
The painter.
No, yeah, I'm surprised.
The painter now says, has a shiloh like this. He goes and paints. Yeah, sure. Sure. That's obvious. That's acceptable. Correct. The kabban to pay, charge $200 per meter. Yeah, okay. So now he has a shiloh like this. That, look, he always gives me 20% less. Can I say, when I do a job, instead of saying I do 10 meters, and then he's going to take off 20%, can I lie and say, I did do 10 meters, he's going to take 20 off, I really deserve $100. So, let me put on 20 extra cents onto the job I did in order that, you know, I'm going to say I did extra, he's going to take off 20% and I get what I deserve.
No.
wife, who she always did the opposite. She has
been watching
the
church. Oh, Rav.
Rav Nebuchadnezzar. They could. And the son put on, and he wanted to switch, and Rav gave him Musa for doing it. So it sounds like he can't do that.
In that case, it's not. We're going to talk about that maybe in 2 weeks' case, but it's not similar to here, because that case is talking about, you know, not something it deserves. It deserves to have potatoes today. Who said maybe it deserves to have spaghetti? Yeah, it's not something monetary he deserves. Yeah, so he doesn't like potatoes, and he says spaghetti. He's going to give potatoes. Yeah, that's not the case we're discussing. Let us define what's the shaila here. Shaila is, I deserve monetary, he's stealing from me. He is stealing from me by not giving me the $100, he's only giving me $80. Can I say sheker in order to prevent him stealing from me? Can I add on to the amount of meterage I do in order that he will end up giving me how much money I deserve? Can I say sheker to prevent him stealing from me?
No. There are two reasons, at least.
There's a no answer. Why?
There are at least two reasons. First of all, I'm machshil him because he's going to go charge the customer for 200 meters when I only paid for 150 meters. Secondly, he's not stealing from me. He is willing to pay me my full price just to never hire me again. So I'm paying him a commission to hire me again by giving him a 20% discount.
No, that's not how he said. He didn't say to him, look.
He said, if you want to stay with me, you'll take 20% less. If you don't want to stay with me, I'll pay you.
No, he says, I pay $10 a meter. That's the going rate.
That's what he said, right.
That's it. Right. And he says that even after he took off the 20%, he said, look, I paid that. You deserve 100.
Right.
And still only going to give you 80.
If you want to stay with me.
Yes.
Right, so if you don't want to stay with me, I'll give you the 10.
Yeah. The first time
so he's not stealing, you're making a deal. It's important for me to work for you again, so I'll be mabater on 20%.
So the next job he says, how much are you paying me? $10 a meter. Okay. And again he does the same thing. So every time he's stealing from you, because he says after the fact, no, I'm not giving you the whole thing, I'm going to 20%.
It's not stealing.
So three times he knows he's now got a chazoka, that's what he does.
It's not stealing. The guy's a fool to keep working for him, but it's not stealing.
It's stealing.
Why?
Because I made a Heskin before the agreement. I'm paying you $10
Fine.
A meter.
And if you want me to stay with
the Heskin. I didn't say beforehand, I'm paying you $10 a meter and I'm going to take off.
I understand. I will give you $10 a meter, but I never want to see you again.
But when you get in a cab and you say I'm paying $100, and then
it's not mechila. I'm selling you the next.
No, I before the job starts.
You are paying me 20%.
Before the job starts up, I say you're $10 a meter.
That's fine.
Now the job's done, you owe me 100.
Yes. I owe you 100.
Yeah, and he says, look,
would you like to work for me again? Yes, you can pay me $20 for the privilege of doing that.
No,
fact, what he's doing.
He says, I'm only giving you 80, and if you don't like it, I won't hire you again.
So he's not going to give him 80 even if he doesn't hire him again?
Yeah, I'm not going to give him 100.
Well, he's not going to give him 100 under any circumstances. All right, that's a different story.
A worker has special rights, doesn't he? To get his money. Gemara gives him. He can mislead people.
Can he say sheker in order to prevent geneva? That's the shame. Correct.
You're allowed to mislead the person to get your fair salary, are you not?
No, he already knows what he really agreed to here. He knows he agreed to 80%.
Very good. If we're going to talk about
if this happens every time, he knows he's getting 80% of what the
three
guy says.
Three times it happens, and now he wants to know.
So that was the Heskin. No. The Heskin was 80% of whatever the guy tells me.
It's not the Heskin. That's the Geneva.
Before the
Balabais
makes a deal with the
government. So the Gemara says, number two. Yaakov, and Yaakov said to Rachel, Ki achi aviahu. Your father is my brother. Ki achi aviahu. Laban is not Yaakov's brother. Hello, Ben Achus aviahu. He is the nephew of Laban. El Omele Misivili. No, this is the conversation. Yaakov said to Rachel, marry me. She said, yes, I'll marry you. Mihu, however, Abba Ramayu. My father is a trickster. Below your cholese, you'll never be able to marry me. Omelay, Achiv Ani Baramas. So Yaakov says, I am his brother in trickery. I can also trick. Omele, mi sorry. Le saduki, le sugi baramose. How's it possible for Sadik like Yaakov Avinu to do Ramos and tricky and lying? Omele, in. It is permitted.
Does it say lying?
Baramos is lying, trickery. In. In. Purushim and Farshim will say it means lying as well. And you see from the story that it is involved some lying over there. Omele, in. In Novat Izabel, in Mirkish Tizabel. If you're dealing with a trickster trying to do you in, you can do him in. So says the Gemara, that if you're doing whatever Ramai, you can do Ramos with him as well. If he's a Ramai to you, then you can defend your rights by being doing Ramos back to him.
It's not Nakoma?
It's not called Nakoma.
Why is it Nakoma?
I'm not doing it by defending my rights.
I'm doing it to get my money.
Not to take revenge or teach him a lesson. You're teaching him a lesson. So we see from here,
he's doing back to me.
To defend yourself for rights that you deserve. To protect yourself, you can do trickery, including lying, to protect yourself.
Very strange question. It sounds like it would be mutter for Rishon, just not Tzadikim.
No, it's just how could it be that such a statement coming out of a Tzadik? Must be that it's a halacha. If it's a Rosha, we can't learn anything from it.
So what does it mean when she asks, Mi Shari le Tzadiki? And for Rishon, you don't have a question, Mi Shari?
No, I wouldn't ask the question. I understand what the answer is. Shavuos, the Gemara in Shavuos doesn't seem to fit with this, because it says like this. And you have to maybe tell me an answer. Menayin the nosa b'chaver mon of a tarba masayim, v'tonu masayim. How do you know that you lent somebody money of a mona and you want to tine 200? He tines 200. You only owe him 100 and he tines that. No, you owe me 200.
You mean a base then?
Yes. You know what? If I say that I owe him 100, which is what I do owe him, what's the halacha? He's claiming 200, and I'll say, no, I'll admit I owe him 100, because that's what I really owe him. What's going to be? Then they're going to make me make a shvua. That's the halacha. If I agree to half of his claim, they have to make a shvua. I don't want to make shvuas. How? So, maybe I got plans. Let me deny him Basin, then there's no shvur. And I'll pay him 100 outside the Basin, which is what he deserves. Can I lie in order to protect myself?
That's lying to Basin, that's the lying.
G'day shvur, chai shvur, lo yagel, lo shvur, mok mach, in order that shouldn't be chai shvur. Tamaloma says the Gemara, mitzvah sheker tichak. You cannot lie even to defend yourself. You want to defend yourself from making shvuos and having to make shvuos which you don't want to do. It's very chomadika things. You want to lie to protect yourself, but pay him outside based in. Says the Gemara, it's sheker. You're not allowed to do that. Midvah sheker tichat. You can't lie to protect yourself. So, in what way is it not the same?
First intention to your lying to the liar to protect yourself.
Are
you lying to the
basin? You're lying to the liar.
You're lying to the
liar. The liar says, I owe him 200. He owes me 200.
You're lying to the basin.
And what way is it different, lying to basin?
Never allowed to lie to basin.
I'm not. He's claiming 200. The liar is claiming 200. And I'm saying, no, I don't owe him anything. I'm lying to him. Basically, I'm just listening to what's going on. They have to decide what's going to be the psak in our discussion.
Well,
who am I lying to?
Can't work if everybody's lying.
Don't you have to tell Beis Din what your time is? When you go to Beis Din, you don't talk to the Beis Din, you just talk to the litigant?
He said, what's your claim? No, the Beis Din said, what's your claim? He says, 200.
And then they say, what's your claim?
And what's your defense? He says, I don't know anything, don't know this guy.
And he says that to the Beis Din.
Yes, I said that. To his, in reference to his claim, basically saying, answer his
claim.
Like
you're saying it, you can't lie to the Beis Din.
Why?
Because the Beis Din is the one that's in control of determining what can and can't be done here.
That's not the reason.
There's no lying in order to get out of what you're not supposed to be getting.
The whole
if he doesn't have a claim, then the basin are basing on just saying he's offsetting his claim. Why? What's the, I'm trying to work out what the why is it worse?
They have it wrong, Jew. He said you can be Rami to the Rami. The Basin's not the Rami.
I'm lying to the Rami. He says to Rami, I owe nothing.
To Basin.
What do you ask his claim? He says you owe me tonsils. He's a Rami. I owe nothing. Protect myself.
You're lying to the Basin, and everybody's making up their own rules as they go along the Basin.
Last say another halacha, which is Dan mentions, which we learnt. A worker. Number four, backs out when he's not allowed to back out. Bedova Ovid. Eni Yochel Lazabo. He backs out in a case where he's not allowed to back out because he's going to ruin the job. In Lonan, Sochalemamatin. You can lie to him and say, no, please continue the job. I'll double your wages. The halacha is, yes, you're allowed to say that. When he backs out, when he's not allowed to back out, you can entice him to continue doing the job with a lie to say, I'll double your wages. He does the job, and then you don't have to pay for the double wages. A Gemara and Bamitzia, Haskin and Shulchan Aruch, you can lachachil a lie to protect your rights. So what's going on? You see, sometimes you can lie to protect your rights, sometimes you can't lie to protect your rights.
Directly to the person
who's
causing the problem, not to the
beast, even to
somebody else.
So Eric is very good. And Eric's hitting the nail on the head, and he deserves a pat on the shoulder. The Chutz Amashulish number 5 answers exactly like Eric, and he's. We'll read it aside because his words are very clear. You can't say lies in front of Beis Din. Mishum of the Posik Dvar Sheker. Why? Lefi Shugurim Shebeis Din Ma'abis Adin. It causes Beis Din not to work properly. It makes their dinim all Sheker. All their din is Sheker. You're making Beis Din give up a sat which is Sheker. V'chein Yer Meloshin Rambam B'Sof Adin. Then when you claim lies, you make the base thing done on lies. You make them the whole system a lie system. And therefore you're not allowed to make base thing involved in lies and dealing with lies and make the whole system a system a lie. And therefore in base thing there's a low plug. There are lies, you can't lie even to protect your position. And only outside Basin can you lie to protect your position. And therefore, the case of Yaakov and the case of the worker are talking about outside Basin, and therefore you're allowed to lie to protect your position in those cases.
Well, we're still going to have the problem that the Kavan is now going to charge for 200 meters instead of the 150 that you painted.
That is a Shaila which has to deal with, yes. That is something which you have to worry about.
Now you could lie to the guy and tell him that you're going to be kofar a kohen based in order to get him not to take you to based in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though you won't actually do that in based in itself.
Yeah. Outside based in, protect your position, your rights, you can lie to the person. According to us. Now, everyone should have a question. Based on what we said last week.
But you can't lie for future or present events.
Correct. We learned somebody wants to borrow money from you, and you're worried if I give him money, I'll never see it again. So, you can simply say, I haven't got money. Really, you have. So we said the Sefer Chassidim says you can't do that.
It's only playing Shalom. This has no meaning.
You can't. You can't do that. Yes? So what's the difference? There you also, so to speak, are protecting your position because you don't want to give the money.
No, I'm not protecting my position. I'm not going to give the money anyway. I'm just making it more pleasant.
No, you're making it more pleasant. Very good. There you're not losing, and the only way to prevent that loss is to say a lie. That's what we're talking about over here. In the case of Sefer Chassidim, you're not losing anything. You can either tell him the truth, I've got money, but I'm not going to give it to you. Oh, I'm not, and you're not going to get the money, whatever it is.
Well, no, that's true, you're not losing anything. You might not be losing money, you might be losing something more important than money.
Sort of, yes. So therefore it's not comparable, and therefore it doesn't benefit. Okay. Let's move on to a common shiloh and see how everyone relates to this. This happens very often. I was even asked this shiloh last week. Somebody buys something from a shop. Let's make it real. Somebody buys something from an electric shop, his washing machine. It comes with achrayus, a tuda. Yeah, gets a piece of paper. This is your achrayus. Let's say it's a 3-year warranty. You buy in the same shop as your friend bought, and that's how you got there. Your friend bought then, you said, where can I put it? Oh, you go and buy in the same shop. So you both bought round about the same amount of time, and washing machine, 3 years achrayus with this tuda. Now, your washing machine breaks down after 2 years. It's under achrayus. It's under, I can go to the sponsor's guarantee, and now start looking for my tuda achrayus, and I can't find it. It's disappeared. Phone up the chevron and said, no, we do not, unless you give us the tuda number or the actual tuda, we're not going to give, we don't believe you that you bought anything like that. It's not under achrayus unless you have the tuda. You can't do anything. So now he goes to his friend and says, no, my washing machine broke down. You got the same washing machine, yeah? You have walked around at the same time. Can I use your tuda achrayus to get them to come and fix my washing machine? There again, lachora, we've got a situation of sheker to protect your position. No. You deserve to get the guarantee because that's what you paid for, because that's part of the price. And you have it for 3 years. You just happen to misplace the piece of paper which proves that you deserve it. So in order to get what you deserve, you go and take and borrow somebody else's tuda achrayus and say, look, can I use yours in order to protect my position? Last week Shiloh was somebody bought a chicken that was totally off from one of the supermarkets. But he lost his receipt. The following week, a few days later, he bought another chicken, and he wants to know, can he use the receipt for his second chicken in order to give back his first chicken?
We don't know.
I don't know what the answer is, but it's not by comparison to what we said about protecting yourself, because in the case tapo means you're protecting yourself from someone who's trying to crook you. They're not trying to crook you. They're being totally legitimate here.
But the tonight of the sale is the following conditions. And if you basically get the piece of paper, one is this, you need to present this piece of paper. And those are our conditions. We need to our product, and you need to fulfill A to Z.
Mm-hmm.
He's not presenting yet.
And therefore?
You shouldn't get there.
And therefore, why not presenting the piece of paper is he not entitled? He doesn't deserve it, you say?
He invalidated it.
He doesn't deserve it. What's the reason why they say you have to
have
this?
He doesn't deserve it.
The reason why.
What's the reason?
Is because they calculate X number of people will lose it, and we don't have to provide service.
It's the same thing.
I'm very serious.
You always got the cuffs.
I'm very serious. There's no cuffs here. They take
it.
It's the same thing with mail-in rebates. They know only 10% they're going to mail them in, so they can afford to offer $100.
First of all, you change the conditions.
Yes.
You change the conditions. You change the conditions to protecting yourself against someone cheating you, to claiming you deserve it.
So that's what we've had. You're saying a good thing. We can't compare it to the previous case, because the previous case and the proofs that we've brought are people who are trying to swindle you. So you're allowed to, as the Yaakov Avinu did, protect yourself by lying to a swindler. But here, these people didn't swindle you, didn't go into your house, took the piece of paper away from you. Yeah? in the middle of the night, and now you're protecting yourself by getting that piece of paper back from your friend. They didn't do that. You were a shmeru, and you lost the piece of paper yourself.
Yeah. But they're losing
everybody
nothing.
Loses.
They're losing
so.
Nothing.
Yes, everyone loses this.
But they're losing nothing.
So?
The company's losing nothing. They got paid.
So the question now is not can you say sheker to protect yourself from a swindler, can you say sheker to prevent a loss?
Right.
That's the question now. A different question.
That's a very fine line.
So we'll just start with one of the proofs, and you think about it for next week. And that is like this. The Gemara and Baba Kama, Daf Mem on the base, talks about a case over there where somebody owns a cow who's not such a healthy cow, it's quite a wild cow, yes? And it has actually gored three times, where it's called a muad. The din is a cow gores three times, has to pay the value of the whole cow which it killed. Up to three times, only pays half. So, he went, Reuven owns this cow, he says to Shimon, please look after it. It's only gored once. Not so wild. But really, it's gored three times. And Shimon didn't look after it, and it gored again, and now Basin say, well, this is a famous cow over here, and it's already killed three times, you have to pay Nezik Shalom. And normally, the guy's looking after it is the one who has to pay. So why? I was only told it's killed once. I didn't realize it's killed three times. Why should I pay Nezik Shalom? So, Kumar says, you know what? The cow, the one who looks after it has to pay half the Nezik, because that's what he understood his position was, and the owner pays half the Nezik. Other half. The Gemara says, the owner comes to the showman and says, how did the basin get hold of the cow after it killed? Well, the showman said, well, I just gave it over to the basin. That's what the basin came, I gave it to him. He says, you're an idiot, you should have given it back to me. And what would you have done if you'd given it back to me? Well, if you'd given it back to me, I would have made it get lost in a place where the basin would never be able to get their hands on it, and if they can't get their hands on it, no one would have to pay. So therefore you owe me money by the fact you gave it over to the basin. The Gemara says, that's a good timer. Tucker, it's a good timer. He does owe him money for the fact he gave it over to the basin. So Tosis asks, what's going on? This guy is a Ramai, a trickster, a gunner. You're going to say that he deserves money. He can say, you're damaging me because I would have been a gunner and made that cow get lost. That makes sense. So Tosis answers, says, yes, it does make sense because we're talking about a situation where he's saying is that, you know what, if you were giving me back the cow, I wouldn't actually make it get lost. I will go to the one that was damaged and say to him that, you know what, unless you make a bashar of me, I will make sure that you get no money by getting the cow lost. I will force a bashar. Again, has Tosis answered anything? He's still a Ramai, a gunner, yeah? He's doing something which is so good, he deserves all the money, he's going to make him only have to pay half. So says the Nesivus in the over here, which is, I've not got time to read it inside, but he says like this, based on the Tumim, the Peshat is that the owner will go to the one that was damaged and say, you know what, you owe me money from a debt which you never paid, which is true, I was never able to prove it, but now I'm going to get my money back, because unless you agree to a Peshara, which will take into account that you owe me money, I will make sure you'll get no money by making this cow get lost. So from here says the Nesivus, that we got, and the Tumim, when you know the truth is with you, you want to protect your position. He owes me money for many years. Rachadayim lo yaminelo, just you got no proof. Mutza v'nirda, to lie and do tricks in order to protect your loss. Says the Tumim, this is true, even if you're not, he's not tricking you. He's not tricking you. For example, it's his Yoshim.
It's what?
It's his, the children. Even if it's the children.
But they're still swindling you. I mean,
no,
maybe
they never swindled you.
Not willingly, but they're stealing from you, though. They're taking something that's yours. Unknowingly, but they're still
and
a
even
threat to
if,
you.
Even if he's forgotten, it's not something which he knows, and you've got no proof, says the Tumim. So we see from over there, the case is very broad from the Gemara and Baba Kama, that even in a case where you've got any type of claim to protect your loss, not talking about Tapka Swindler, any time you want to protect your loss, you're allowed to lie in order to protect your loss. That's what we see from over there. Now, you have to think.
How is he lying over there? He could really take it to his father.
He says, I'm going to do swindling. I'm going to say that I'm going to put it in a place like that you can't get hold of.
He could do that.
And he could, but he'll never do it. So that's not going to do. And he can say that I'm going to do that, even though he's not going to do that, because he can't do that, in order to make him make this bishara. So he can force somebody to make a bishara in order to protect his position, even if he's not being tricked by that guy in such a situation. So you think until next week whether this is a good proof to our case or not, or our case is still different.
Good. Different.